This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
When you shop at a Walmart Vision Center, you get it. You know that you'll spend a little less on stylish glasses for the whole family.
Welcome to the Vision Center. Let me know if you need help finding the perfect frame.
Hey, Mom, you were right. These glasses are cool.
Hon, they take our insurance. That means Papa's getting a new pair, too.
Whoa, glasses start at just $39. Next stop, groceries.
So you can get a little more of what you need. Find a Vision Center near you. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and in this episode, I'll be talking to Bob Bowden, who you might have heard in several places, including TalkSport. He's a West Ham supporter, and he's on to share his thoughts on his club ahead of this match against Fulham. This is our View of the Opposition show, which is our preview for this upcoming match. I look forward to doing the show, but before I do anything else, I have to welcome my guest to the show. Bob, welcome to Cottage Talk.
Thanks for inviting me, Russ. Good to speak to you again.
It's great to speak to you. I've been on your show when you were on TalkSport, so thank you for returning the favor here.
My pleasure.
Okay, well, let's get right to it, my friend. You are a huge West Ham supporter. So let's start here. Let's talk about the beginning of the season, which, again, I look at it as a new manager. It takes a little time to adjust. So let's talk about the very beginning stages of the Manuel Pellegrini era for West Ham.
And I have to say that I was off the back of last season not prepared to renew my season ticket because we had such an abysmal year last year and we played some of the worst football I've ever seen. I thought, no, I just can't be doing with this, watching this week in, week out. Then we appoint Pellegrini. I thought, okay, that's a step in the right direction because of the type of football he plays and the reputation he has and the fact he's done so well in this country before with Manchester City. I thought, okay, let's give them a chance and see how it goes. And it was a sketchy start, should we say, to the season. Yep. We had that very big high point, the big win against Manchester United.
I saw that match, by the way.
Yeah, 3-1. 3-1. And it was pretty much worth renewing my season ticket just for that game alone, to be honest. To be able to come away from London Stadium having beaten Manchester United 3-1. But it's been very patchy until recently, anyway, as we'll have one good performance and we'll have one indifferent performance. And then we'll not play particularly well for a couple of games and then we'll get back into a rhythm. So it's been very difficult to actually assess how our season has been until pretty much we hit the back end of November. Now, we've had 3 straight wins, 3 goals scored in each of those games. Again, we haven't played brilliantly 90 minutes in every game, but we've got the job done. Got the job done very well. Took a while to break Cardiff down. And when we got past halftime, we've become a bit like Arsenal in a way, like a second half team. Our second half performances are so much better than our first half, invariably. And we're looking for our first 4 wins in a row. Sorry about this, say this, Russ, at this stage. We're looking for our first 4 wins in a row run for the first time in 5 years.
Okay, excellent. Well, Thank you for that overall view. But I want to talk about the improvement, because obviously this has happened over a course of time. You just said it really started to come together. So I'm curious, from your view, what do you think is the reason for it finally to start going in the right direction? Is it just the players really learning what Manuel Pellegrini wants to do? You talked about playing a full 90 minutes plus and obviously much better in the second half. But where do you see the improvement really coming from? Who's more responsible for it? Is it the players, or is it really coming from Pellegrini, or a combination of both?
Yeah, I think you probably hit the nail on the head there. I think it's a combination of both, because what he is doing now, he's getting a tune out of players that other people maybe haven't been able to do. Hernandez has started scoring, which he wasn't doing at the beginning of the season. Rob Snodgrass has come back from Aston Villa, is a completely different player. Completely different player under Pellegrini than he was when he left under Bilic. He's now influencing the game. He's running the game. Martin Noble's having another outstanding season right the way through, and he's going to extend his contract by another year. So we've got him till 2021 now, which is great. We've got some sublime play from Felipe Anderson, who we've got for a steal, quite frankly. Other clubs around the Premier League and around Europe, we go, how did they get him so cheap? Because he really can influence a game. We've got a nice solid goalkeeper now as well, which is very important. He has his little wanderlust occasionally. He'll make a couple of little blips, but he's been making some fantastic saves this year. So we've got a solid goalie. Our defence is still a little bit creaky. I mean, I suppose when I'm talking to you about creaky defence, it's your someone who's talking about ours. But we still have that kind of tendency to let in sloppy and stupid goals occasionally, like we did against Palace last week. We were bossing that game. And then, you know, they allow Schlupp in there with nobody close to him, and suddenly it's 3-2, and we're thinking, right, we're under pressure now. So we're obviously hypercritical of our own team when we see them. But overall, the shape looks good. We're playing positive football. We're going forward. Now, the difference between last year and this year is we're playing the ball forward. We're playing the ball out from the back. We're not going back in triangles. We're not going side to side. We're going forward. We're being positive, and we're creating chances. And it's the good thing is, it's not just 11 players. He's got 16, 17 who contribute now. So it's looking much more positive from our point of view.
It's interesting the way that you're describing this, and I've watched, I wouldn't say a decent amount, but some West Ham. And what I've noticed, tell me if I'm wrong about this, talking about going forward and the way that you're playing, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Fulham under Slavica back in the Championship, when it was about going forward, being positive, play the ball out from the back. Mm. And the defense was not the priority, but it was more of an attitude, Bob, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, that the more that you possess the ball and that you go forward, the less the opposition has the ball. So yes, it's more thinking forward than thinking backward, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, I like Pellegrini's attitude on this. It's basically he's saying, right, I want to be aggressive. I want to be attacking. Yep. I want to be offensive here. You know, there are other coaches, and we don't necessarily need to mention them in the Premier League, who set their stall out to not concede.
Right.
And then they kind of build from there. His is kind of the reverse. He wants us to be a bit more run and gun, a bit more open, which is the case where we have frailties occasionally. But
right,
his way of looking at this is, well, we'll create chances then, and we'll hopefully create more chances than they will, and we'll win. And all of a sudden, now you can see how things are rolling. Three goals. Nobody's scoring. Right. As many goals consistently in the Premier League at the moment as we are. So whatever's happened, they flicked a switch or something's clicked into place. The players are understanding what is required of them under a new system. Now, if you look at it, last four managers, we've had Sam Allardyce, we've had his way of doing things. We've had David Moyes' way of doing things, which weren't totally dissimilar. In between, we had Slaven Bilic. And now we've got Pellegrini. So you've got two quite attacking-minded managers and two quite defensive-minded managers there. So the players who've been in and around the team for a while now are probably thinking, right, okay, so what do I revert to here? How do I play this? What does the manager require? I mean, I think it has taken a little while for them to kind of not buy into it, because I'm sure they want to play that way, to just understand how to play that way.
Right.
And I think it's coming. It's coming good. I'm, you know, being a West Ham fan, you like a Fulham fan. You don't get too excited. You're not doing flips every time that we win a game. But yeah, the fact we're scoring goals and we're winning games is a great combination right now.
Right, and I definitely understand that. And this is something that I'm trying to get adjusted to, Bob, because what I was comparing, say, Savisa and to what's going on with Pellegrini is a philosophy, not a complete style. We're talking about philosophy, how that they looked at the game of football. And that's, I think that they're in the same ballpark when how they look at things. And now Fulham have a little bit of a different approach. Well, I can say a very different approach. Seems like under Ranieri, but Ranieri is, you know, again, we're going to have to see how things turn out with him. And it's definitely an adjustment for the players and the way Fulham are playing. And we're going to have to see how this all works out. I have a good feeling about it because I could see how it's starting to work, but only time will tell on that. But when I look at West Ham, it really does bring me back to how much I enjoyed watching Fulham play and what I've been catching up on West Ham this week and watching some of the goals and some of the play. It brought me right back there. So that's why I kind of wanted to do just a little comparison between, say, Savisa and Pellegrini. And I know that the styles aren't the same, just in the philosophy, I think, is the same. All right.
Yeah, I think you're right in that respect, yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, you've mentioned one player that I wanted to ask you about, Anderson. But what other players that have come through this summer have an impact for you so far?
Well, I think the big thing, and I mentioned this a few moments ago, is the emergence this year. It sounds like he's a new player. We had him before and he didn't play anything like this. Rob Snodgrass has been absolutely special. You know, he's making things happen. He's our set piece wizard sometimes.
Oh, he's great on set pieces. I remember that.
But, you know, the corner sometimes could take a little bit of improvement, but again, we're being hypercritical. But sure. It's what I like about is, you know, and him and Noble, you could put in the same bracket, the work rate. They work their socks off for 90 minutes, you know, and they'll chase lost causes, they'll harry, they'll hassle, and they'll make things happen. They'll make a 50-50 ball, 100% ball for themselves. And that kind of, to me, underlines the work ethic of this team. There's very few fancy Nans on this team. You could say the Hernandez is, I suppose, but it's a good, industrious little team now. They're working for each other and working hard for each other. And I think Snodgrass is probably been the most important factor of that. We can look at the flash things of Anderson this year, which has been great. He's scored some fantastic goals and has been a brilliant addition to the team. But Snodgrass has come back from Villa and has added a completely new dimension to that midfield.
It's not a surprise to me because I got to watch a good amount of him last season. I've watched a lot of matches from Aston Villa, and he was very good for Aston Villa. So that doesn't surprise me, but I understand he's a different player that is coming back to you. So that definitely makes sense.
Well, he wasn't that player when he left us. That's what I mean.
Right, that's what I meant.
Almost like somebody's had an identity crisis, and they've come back as a completely different person. Because when he was with us in the previous era, that's why he went. If he was playing as well as he is now, he wouldn't have gone to Villa in the first place. But he wasn't playing that well. In fact, he was basically the boo boy for the fans 2 years ago. People look at the team sheet and go, oh, Snodgrass is playing. And it would honestly be like, and when he came back, he had to win a lot of people over. Because people said, well, why do we want him? You know, he was playing Championship last year. Yeah, well, exactly that. Well, I think so. And he's showing that this season. And he has won over so many people. I would not be surprised if he's not the player of the season at the end. Wow. He carries on the way he's going now.
That's good to hear for him. And he's a player that I remember even several years ago thinking that he could be a quality player. And I think he's actually proven me right there. All right. Right back to you, Bob. Manuel Pellegrini, we've just had his presser and there are some doubts for the match. I think he said that Jack Wilshere is completely out, but a player that they are going to be monitoring, I think, tomorrow, and a player that actually some goals I just watched was very good, was Lucas Perez. So he is a doubt for this match. Let me ask you your thoughts on injuries heading into this match.
Yeah, well, of course, we've got no Arnautovic either at the moment, which is a key thing. He's out for a few more weeks, so we're lacking him. And this kind of now will show, as we go to the Christmas period, which we know is very intense and so many games in a short space of time, he's going to have to rotate. He can't play the 11, starting 11 that he's been playing recently. Andy Carroll's going to have to play more than a bit part. And he came on early against Palace at the weekend. He may start. He may need to start him if Perez is not there. I mean, again, it's an interesting case that you mentioned about Perez. When he came on the other week, the fans are going, "Oh, really?" And then he scores two goals.
Two wonderful goals, by the way. Yeah.
They were two very well taken goals. But because he's not really had the chance to shine because of Arnautovic, he's obviously going to have to play more of a part. Wilshere, well, I can say here and now, I was not keen on that signing at the beginning of the season anyway. And I was told by other West Ham fans, "You don't know what you're talking about. He's the best England midfielder, this, that, and the other." I said, "Yeah, but the problem is, how much will he play? You know, he has the talent. We know the talent. He showed it at Arsenal in bursts. But he is so injury prone. In fact, I described to somebody online just now, he's made of balsa wood. You know, he doesn't get through. He'll get an injury. Oh, I'll be back next week. Or come back and he'll be in the on the subs bench or whatever. He'll play 10 minutes and he's injured again. He's worse than Andy Carroll in there. So we have two crocs on our team who you cannot rely on for more than, you know, a handful of games, if that. It kind of irritated me that I was being shouted down a lot in the summer about Wilshere. But I think I've been proved right because he's barely featured.
It's a very good point. You know, if you can't play, what good are you? And unfortunately for him, it's injury related. And, this has been a long-term situation with him. I want to go back to Carroll because one of my co-hosts is fearful that he's going to play against Fulham. Seriously. Because of what he has brought in the past against Fulham and in general.
Yeah, he'll cause you problems though, Russ. He will, because set pieces. You know,
yes.
The height he's got, your back four, I'm afraid, are not going to be able to cope with that very well. Because he is brilliant from set pieces. You know, he's another kind of like a Peter Crouch situation. Isn't it? You get a big man in the box like that. And I look at your back four and I'm thinking, Carroll on top form, Carroll really wants it. But, you know, Carroll also has the other side to his game that he might be a little bit too aggressive. And we've got Mike Dean's in charge of this one, I believe, this weekend.
Yes,
which I don't know whether the Americans know about Jasper Carrot, but he's a leading comedian in this country who is a dead ringer for Mike Dean, or Mike Dean's a dead ringer for him. And every time, so we got Jasper again this weekend. So. And he's quite card happy as Mr. Dean.
Yes.
So Andy Carroll needs to be a bit careful because those flailing elbows and stuff. He might just find himself in a bit of trouble.
Very interesting you say that. But I'm curious, how does he fit under Manuel Pellegrini and his style? I'm curious how that works.
Yeah, it doesn't quite fit in the style of Arnautovic, but it. You could see him being more of an impact player. I mean, I'd say he's not been starting. He has been coming on as a sub last couple of games. He played a bit more time against Palace at the weekend. But his sheer presence causes problems. So it allows other players around him to exploit that. So he can be a bit of a battering ram in a way, but then he opens up spaces and opens up opportunities for other people around him. So it's not always him. I mean, you see him as an out-and-out goal scorer, a target man, which I suppose he is, but his sheer presence can unsettle defences and make life very difficult for them. And that's, you know, trying to be as neutral as I can be about this one. That would be the thing that would concern me about for Fulham this weekend, is that if he's in the mix and he's playing well, and we don't know how well he's playing because we haven't seen enough of him this year, but if he's on his game, also, so somebody or other, I think the tongue firmly locked in cheek says, oh, Andy Carroll's bound to get a red card or a yellow here because he'll want to miss the Christmas period.
Jeez.
So I don't know how much truth there is in that.
Well, listen, I understand why my co-host brought that to my attention, and I understand it, totally understand it. So that's why I wanted to ask you about Andy Carroll, because I don't want to see him feature against Fulham, but if he does, I think it could be an issue for my club. All right. All right, Bob, let's get a little bit more into this. What I do for strengths and weaknesses, I actually go to whoscored.com and I read off what they say as strengths and weaknesses, see if they match up with what you know about your club. I also read off what they say as style of play. So I'm going to share with you what whoscored.com says about strengths and style of play, and just simply tell me if it matches up, and if it doesn't, tell me your thoughts on strengths.
Right.
So this is what whoscored.com says is strengths. Very strong creating chances using through balls, strong at counterattacks, stealing the ball from the opposition, strong. Style of play, attempt through balls often, attacking down the right, play the offside trap, rotate their first 11, playing in their own half. Okay, Bob, does that describe West Ham to you, style of play, and also the strengths that they list?
Yeah, I think so. I think we do a lot of stuff down the right, it's true. Although I'm trying to think, in recent times we've had quite a few things opening up from the left, so I don't think we're necessarily a one-sided team in that respect. But I would say the majority of things are generated down the right for the most part. I always think we have a frailty when it comes to our third, where, you know, we can look a little bit unsure when the ball's in around the box sometimes. But in terms of aggressive and forward-thinking intent, yeah, I think that sums up pretty well.
Okay, very good. All right, now I'm going to read what it says for weaknesses. Here they are. Defending set pieces, aerial duels, defending against tacks down the wings, defending against long shots, defending against through ball attacks, protecting the lead. Does that match up?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, I think sometimes we look a little bit unsteady, uncertain when we get in around our own box about what to do. There's sometimes they'll look to go back to Fabianski, and sometimes they won't look to go to Fabianski. And I think, basically, I think Pellegrini doesn't want them to keep going back via the keeper. He wants them to kind of generate stuff themselves. But I think sometimes they go a bit betwixt and between and go, there's an opening, there's an option, I'll put it back to him. And I wish they wouldn't, quite frankly, because I always think that kind of takes the momentum away from us too much. But yeah, I don't think, to be fair, that thing about set pieces could almost apply to any team in the Premier League, frankly.
I totally agree.
I don't know too many teams who are good from set pieces, defending set pieces.
Yeah.
Because everybody has, like we have target men. Every other team has target men. So I think if there is actually a weakness in the Premier League full stop, it's the way that teams defend. Look how many goals are scored from set pieces.
Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree.
A lot.
All right. Let's now get your thoughts on key players for West Ham against Fulham. I'm curious where you're going to go on this.
Okay. Well, depending on what our starting lineup is going to be at the weekend, and we don't know yet. Chicharito or Hernandez, to me, it's starting to come into a bit of a vein of form since he said he wanted to leave, which is quite interesting because he was making loads of noise about, oh, I'm in a transfer window, I want to go. Now, I don't know what's changed.
He just arrived.
Yeah, he was here the back end of last year, of course.
He was.
But he's never really ingratiated himself with the West Ham fans. But all of a sudden, he's on a bit of a rich vein of form here. And you know that every goal he's ever scored, wherever he's been in the Premier League, has been inside the box. Every single goal. He's never scored a goal from outside the penalty box.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. No, I think he's either second or third in the all-time scorers in the Premier League for in terms of percentage from being inside the box. Well, it was 100% inside the box. He's never scored anything from outside 18 yards. And he obviously doesn't have the foot. When he and Arnautovic were starting to click together a few games ago, I'm thinking that looks like that partnership's coming together, but obviously that's kind of changed now. Whether you can put him and Andy Carroll together on a regular basis is a big question because they're so dissimilar in the way they play. But when Anderson, I think, is our key man against you, because I think Anderson has all the tricks and he'll look and think, right, here's a vulnerable defense. I can do a few kind of show reels for you, if you like, here. So I think the key player for West Ham point of view this weekend will be Felipe Anderson.
Okay, very good there. All right, let's now start to talk about Fulham. And I want to get your thoughts on Claudio Ranieri. Before I go to you on that, I just want to mention that one of my co-hosts, Max Cohen, was at the NBC Sports Fan Fest in New York City last weekend. And he had the opportunity of interviewing Robbie Earl, Kyle Martino, and Rebecca Lowe.
My friend. My former colleague, Rebecca. Yeah.
She's fantastic. And she's actually, as we were talking about, me and Max off air, that she's really the face of football in America right now. She's that well-known, and she does an excellent job. But what's interesting about what all three had to share when the topic of Ranieri came up is that he'll keep you in the division, which I find that interesting. Was very optimistic with Fulham now because Ranieri was in charge. So that's going to lead me to ask you about Ranieri, thoughts on his time so far at Fulham, and what do you think of him being in charge of Fulham?
Well, it's interesting you say that about, oh, we'll keep you in the division. It's a bit like people said that about David Moyes with us.
Yeah.
But why did Leicester City get rid of him the year after he won the title in that case? You have to question that to a certain extent. That he was, at that stage, Leicester were doing the complete reverse of what they did the season before and were heading into a bit of trouble. Now, he's obviously been a high-profile club where he's had loads of money. He's a high-profile club where he doesn't have a lot of money, particularly with Fulham. Also, he's picking up a poison chalice in a little bit of a way. He's got to stem the tide. He's got to try and put a tourniquet on the bleeding in terms of the goals you're conceding right now, which he is the right man for that, definitely the right man for that, I think, because he's very pragmatic in the way he does things. But I think it's going to take him a little while. It's not a tourniquet. You can't just stop everything straight away like that. I think you probably do have the right man. He's making the right noises. I think you've probably seen a few improvements, haven't you, last few games?
Oh, absolutely. I have.
So I think it's going to be – I don't see you going down. I hope you don't go down because I have quite a soft spot for Fulham. But I think he has probably got enough in the players that he's got in that squad and the way that he sets his teams up. And I think that was an aberration last weekend against United. I think you can like we got absolutely stunned by Manchester City. I think there are certain games in the course of a season you can kind of write them off, say, well, it's one of those days. And I think it was just one of those days for you last weekend. But yeah, I think he's the right man. But you know, he has got a big job to do. But I think what you're lucky in is that there are a few other teams down the bottom of the table who probably have even bigger problems long term here. I think. Who aren't really getting things doing. I mean, Southampton have brought a new man in. Is he going to change things quickly? It's going to take a while for him to bed in there. Huddersfield aren't looking brilliant at the moment. There's a few other teams. So I think it's going to be quite interesting that bottom five or six is going to be quite interesting this year. I think you'll probably be in and around that, but I think you may just have enough. You've obviously got a couple of goal scorers, potentially, if they're on form, who can get you out of that hole.
Right, and that's been my thoughts on that, Bob, is that we have Mitrovic, we also have Schürrle, and I think you'll start to see more goals from players like Ryan Sessegnon and even Tom Kearney. So I think we have the talent to stay in the division, but like you mentioned, he has a huge job on his hands transforming Fulham. It doesn't happen overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day, yeah. And I've seen progress. You know, it's going to take time, but what I've seen so far I like, and I'm glad that you mentioned the Manchester United match because that was the first backward step, especially the first half. But in the second half, I saw a little bit what I've seen in the first three matches under Ranieri. I saw an improved play. So for me, I can see improvement, and I am hopeful, but only time will tell. All right, let's get a little bit further into Fulham. Who do you see as players that concern you from a West Ham perspective for this match?
Well, you got Ivan Mitrovic, who can do great things on his day. Has he had enough of them this year? Potentially not. You think, right, here's a guy who's going to take his championship form into the Premier League. Is he going to make that step up? Has he made that step up fully yet? I don't think he has. But there's loads of potential for him to show what he can do and prove that he is a Premier League-style player. Not quite there yet, but somebody could easily be undone by him. I hope it's not going to be us, but yeah, I was impressed with him last year. Yep. He's yet to fully impress me this year, but there's still time.
Okay, very good. A player that, again, myself and many Fulham supporters, and actually there was a lot of praise for bringing in Jean-Michel Seri, and I'm curious to see how he will progress under Ranieri because he's been a disappointment Bob, I don't know if you've had a chance to watch him. The beginning of the season, we kind of saw the player that we had hoped we have seen. But since then, it's actually not been great for Jean-Michel Seri. And, you know, it leads me to ask the question because, again, we also have Anguissa as well. Two players coming from France. And is it really, you know, could it possibly be such an adjustment coming to the Premier League from, say, France that it just takes more time than say coming directly from, I don't know, maybe coming from Germany or coming from Italy? Maybe it's a little bit different coming from France. I'm curious your thoughts on this because these two players again come from Ligue 1 and really have not hit the pavement running, unfortunately.
I think what a lot of people miss out on or don't fully appreciate or understand is the speed of the Premier League compared to most other leagues in Europe. The Bundesliga is similar, I think, in style and also in speed. You look at most of the other major leagues in Europe, it's a slower pace, it's a slower tempo, it's played a slightly different way, as we find out when we see Champions League games. You know, there's often a real clash of styles there. And I think the intensity of and the pace of the Premier League is quite a thing for people to adapt to. Look at Paul Pogba, Manchester United at the moment.
That's a great point.
They're not getting a tune out of him because he's finding it really hard. Because the other thing about most European leagues, Spanish league being, I think, the best case in point, is half the league you can probably win against comfortably most weeks. If you're Real Madrid or you're a Barcelona or Atletico Madrid, you know pretty much you should be able to beat the bottom half of that table. The Premier League is not like that. All 20 teams are competitive. All 20 teams can beat anybody on any given day. So you don't have those kind of, you look at it'll be an easy fixture this weekend. Because there aren't any easy fixtures. And I think that if you don't have the mindset that every single game is as intense as the last, as intense as the next one, then you get left behind. And I think there are some players who come into the Premier League not really certain of what the Premier League is, because you don't get the idea of the speed of it on TV, I don't think. If you're actually at a game, you can physically see how quickly the ball moves around, the intensity of it. I mean, I would think, I've not seen the stats, but I would think there's probably more running done in the Premier League by a lot of players than other leagues, because it's not, the other leagues are a bit more static in lots of ways with the way they play it. I think there's more intensity. Some people say the quality is not maybe there, but that's a different argument altogether. But the intensity and the speed of the game is as quick as any. And I think that is the biggest adaptation that's not always made by players coming into it.
It's a great point because both of these players I'm talking about, I think, have a huge amount of talent and it just hasn't worked out yet. And the one thing that I've noticed is, I guess you could say, the awareness of their surroundings, not being aware of the players around them, the pace of the game.
You don't have time to think, Russ. That's the
they don't.
You don't have the extra second to go, well, I can compose myself, I can do this. Because by that time, somebody's coming and taking the ball off you.
Exactly.
Or close you down or whatever. I think you just can't allow yourself that extra second in the Premier League.
Okay. And there's a perfect example of that with Jean-Michel Seri being taken advantage of by Conte, who's going to do that to many players. But again, that was a glaring issue. And I just noticed that. And I've seen that in a few other games. Just little mental errors that both of these players are making. And like you said, it's the pace and that they don't have any time. They have to be aware of everyone around them or they're going to get taken advantage of. So that's why I kind of wanted to ask you about those two players, because those are two players that I thought by this time of the season, I'd be going to my, you know, I guess, and say, well, these are players that you should be looking for. And right now, neither one of them have hit the pavement running as much as I had hoped. Anyways, let's move on. Bob, let's go to matchups. I always like doing this. So let's start with Fulham's attack versus West Ham's defense. So look at it. And who do you give the advantage to, Fulham going forward and West Ham defending?
That's quite a difficult one. To be fair, we in recent times we've not conceded. We conceded two last week. We had conceded one the week before, and then we had a clean sheet before that. So we've conceded three and three, which is pretty decent. I'm kind of besmirching my defence. I'm looking back at the last three games and say, well, actually, we've done okay. But we are we just have those errors in us. That's the thing that worries me.
Okay.
And that's why, alluding to something I was talking about earlier on, if Mitrovic has his eyes wide open and sees those little errors and mistakes that we can make, he could capitalize. But I think if you made me come down one way or the other, I would say probably our defense is a little bit more assured than your forward line is right now.
Okay, so you're going to give the advantage to West Ham. Let's flip it. West Ham's attack versus Fulham's defense. I don't even need an answer from you. I know what the answer is. But
yeah,
go ahead share your thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, I probably won't have to wait too long to give you the outcome on that one. Because, I mean, you know, the stats tell you everything. And sure. I don't need to labor those, the amount of goals you've conceded this season. And also, the type of goals you've conceded, which has amazed me. When I've watched the highlights on Match of the Day here, I look at the goals that you concede, which are so easy to eradicate.
Really
stupid goals. Well, how did that, you know, positional play and getting drawn to the ball and leaving huge, great expanses of
the majority of the goals, Bob, are mental errors.
Yeah. So, you know, just from that point of view, but they go, hopefully Ranieri is drilling him. I'm sure that's all he's probably doing right now in training is defensive drills.
Yes.
He's probably just saying, right, this is what we've got. This
the preventable
is why
goals is what
this is why he's
about.
Been brought in, obviously, is to try and stop the amount of goals you're conceding. I put last weekend down to an aberration because I don't think that's going to happen again until you face the likes of City, perhaps something like that. But I'm afraid on both counts with our defense against your attack and vice versa, I'm afraid I have to come down with my West Ham bias on the side of the Hammers.
Understand that. Now, this is going to be interesting. How about the central midfield battle? Who do you give the advantage to here? Because Fulham actually have changed things a little bit. Callum Chambers, believe it or not, has played very well as a defensive midfielder. But I just mentioned to you the issue with Jean-Michel Seri. And Tom Kearney, I'm going to include him in as, say, part of, I guess you could say, like a midfield three if it was a 4-2-3-1. He's a very good player. But on the other side, you have Rice and Noble, who are both very good. So who do you give the advantage to?
Well, I've got to say, because I've been talking them up so much, I think our midfield has actually been the most impressive thing that we've had this season. Our defense has been a bit off and on. Our attack at times has been a little bit lightweight. But our midfield has been exemplary. So I would have to say, I'm going to give you three in a row here. Of the three, I would feel most comfortable about saying our midfield has been absolutely outstanding.
Okay.
It's good creatively, it's good defensively, and of course this will be the cue for us to concede loads from midfield mistakes. But of course from your point of view you do. But I think I've been really impressed with our midfield.
Okay.
It's industrious, it's very creative, and I think it's been probably the most impressive thing we've had this year.
Okay. And finally, this is an interesting one. This is just your opinion. Who has the coaching advantage between Pellegrini and Ranieri?
Well, they have – probably Ranieri's got slightly more Premier League experience than Pellegrini. And they both won Premier League titles.
Yes.
So I think because Pellegrini's had a bit longer in the job with West Ham – and he's now got his team playing the way he wants them to do and getting the results he wants to see from them, I'd just give him the edge, but it would only be a slight edge on that. I think Ranieri is a good operator, as he proved at Leicester, as he proved at Chelsea. So I think that I would almost call that a dead heat.
Okay. All right, Bob, let's now go into my section of predictions. First, from your point of view, what do West Ham need to do to win the match at Craven Cottage?
I think they need to play like they played in the second half against Cardiff, but for 90 minutes. And the same against Crystal Palace, but for 90 minutes. And actually get on the front foot straight off. And, you know, Fulham are vulnerable. We've seen it. Yep. If West Ham, obviously they're the wayside, so Fulham will be expected as a home side to have a little bit more about them at Craven Cottage. But I think we need to be a bit more forceful, a bit more ambitious maybe early on, and try and put the game to bed in the first half an hour or so, which we haven't done in recent times. So I think it's a case of basically starting the first half like we started the second half in the last three games.
Okay. get off to a very good start, maybe get an early goal. It sounds like you're looking for.
Indeed.
Okay. Now I'm going to put you in the shoes of Ranieri. Hmm. What does Fulham need to do to win this match if you were him? How would you look at this match? What would be your game plan against West Ham United if you were him?
Well, I know man-to-man marking's kind of gone out of fashion, but I would say stick somebody on Anderson, right? I'd say Anderson is the danger man in a game like this, I think, and just keep him quiet. Just mark him as close as you can without being stupid, and obviously be right on top of him. But it's creative players in games like this who make a change, I think, and make a difference. And I think Anderson's coming into a good little run of form here, and he could be the person to pick the lock. So I would say Hernandez, yes, you know, if he gets inside the box, he might well, but you need somebody to be creative from just outside the box, and Anderson's the guy who does that. So I would say, right, we need to keep a very close eye on him and make sure he doesn't have room to maneuver.
Okay, very good. All right. It's time for your prediction, Bob, and then I'll give mine.
Okay. I think there will be goals. It's a 5:30 game here. Yeah, I think. How many? This is the question.
Yeah.
Are we going to score three again? Yes, I think we are. Are you going to score? Yes, I think you are. So I'm going to go. I think it's going to be quite an open game, this. And of course, come 7:15 our time on Saturday night, it'll probably be a 0-0. But I think I am going to go for 3-1.
Okay. So you're going 3-1 to West Ham.
Yes.
I agree with you that it's going to be an open game. I agree with you that there are going to be a lot of goals. I think there are going to be more goals than you think.
Okay.
I'm actually going 3-2 to Fulham. I think Fulham are
going to win this match. Okay. All right.
I think it's going to be an open game. I think this is not going to make Claudio Ranieri happy at all because he wants a clean sheet. He's not going to get his clean sheet, especially against what I've been watching lately from West Ham. They are looking like a really good side, playing some good football. I think you're going to score some goals. But here's the thing. I think Fulham are ready to score more goals than they have been lately. They have the ability to. So I'm going 3-2 to Fulham at Craven Cottage. We need the points more than you do. So I'm going for a Fulham victory, Bob.
Well, all right. Pellegrini says he wants to get top six. And if we get 3 points, we move from 10th into the top eight.
This is true. This is true. No, it's a valid point. But when you're bottom of the league, you really need the points. So
yes. That's... No, I get that. I understand that.
So we shall see, my friend. Bob, before we go, just again, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure, Russ.
Please tell everyone how they can follow you on Twitter and also what you've been doing lately.
Okay, my Twitter handle is at Bob Ballard Sport, and I've been doing everything barring football, really. I've been working on the Champions Hockey League, so I've been doing commentary on the ice hockey since August, which has been good fun. That's come to an end for me now because we've got to the semi-final stage, so I do it up until semis. I've got some diving things coming up very soon, doing the World Series event in London in May, some swimming events as well for the new year. So, keeping relatively busy.
Okay, very good. That's great to hear. And so good to have you on. But it is time to wrap up this show of Cottage Talk. For my guest, Bob Ballard, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.